Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Natalie Lussier, joining us from Southern Ontario. Natalie is the founder of the WordPress plugin Access Ally, which helps coaches deliver their courses, memberships, and communities on their terms. Welcome, Natalie.
Yay, thank you so much for having me.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got started in WordPress. What was your journey?
Yeah, so if we want to start at the very, very beginning, I would say that I really kind of got the internet bug when I was around 11 or 12 and I built my first website. And it was pure HTML, you know, Notepad and just uploading via FTP and just, you know, teaching myself to code. I would look at other people's source code on their website and see like, how do I build a table? I would copy and paste and bring that over to my side and, you know, just tweak it until it looked right the way that I wanted it. And, you know, through that, I kind of started building websites for my high school and for other kind of local businesses. And I was really, really bad at the actual like client management side of things, but I enjoyed the web design side. And so I decided to pursue a degree in software engineering. And I thought there would be a lot more web stuff in my degree, but it ended up being a lot more coding. And, you know, there was a class called graphics and it was like an upper year class. And I was like, oh, graphics, that's going to be awesome. Like I love design and it'll be great. But when I got to that class, it was all about like the algorithms to generate graphics on a screen. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is not what I expected at all. But luckily I got to, you know, started building, you know, I kept building my own websites along the way. And then I discovered WordPress around probably 2007, 2008. And I just created like a blog and it was just very basic at the time. But then also throughout my university career, I got to be an intern and work on Wall Street and Silicon Valley. And I got to do kind of, you know, tech things at those companies. And then I got a job offer to go work on Wall Street. And at graduation, I was like, okay, I think if I, you know, take this job, I'm going to wake up in like 40 years and kind of regret it. So I decided to turn down this job offer to start my own business. And so what it was actually, you know, I kept reading all these blogs about follow your passion and things like that. So I decided to build a business all about healthy eating. And so I just built a blog and people kept asking me, you know, who built your website? Like, it looks so great. And so it kind of turned into a whole other like, okay, I'm going to let go of this business and do web design again. And I call it kind of the spiral staircase because I was sort of regretting and dreading going back into web design. But at this point, things had changed. I had learned a lot more and I was building all these sites on WordPress. And also I got so much better at the business side and actually like working with clients and, you know, managing expectations, all of that. So that quickly became a very successful web design business. And then I realized, you know, I couldn't take on all the clients that I wanted. So people were saying like, how do you build these pop-ups? How do you build these things? And I was like, you know, if I were to build a plugin to do it, that would actually solve the problem. They wouldn't have to learn how to code and they wouldn't have to like get their hands so dirty. So that kind of, you know, ended up, you know, growing over time, was kind of in the back of my head. My business kept growing. I ended up selling online courses and doing all kinds of consulting along the way. And then at this point I was like, okay, my business is doing well enough. I'm going to see if my husband can quit his job and join me because he's also a developer. And then that's essentially when we decided to, you know, really go all in on the software side and build WordPress plugins. So I knew that, you know, building a WordPress plugin, selling it and actually supporting it was a lot for one person. So I wanted to make sure we could actually handle support and, you know, ongoing updates and all of that. So that's sort of the kind of how we got to where we are today. And we built, you know, Access Ally for ourselves because we were using a different plugin at the time. And then we were running into all these issues where our site, our host would shut us down because they thought we were getting attacked. But it was just the way that our plugin was built was like pinging our email marketing platform with each visit. And so we just quickly built Access Ally over a weekend because we had to like solve this problem. And then over time, we were like, hey, like, what if we added this? What if we added that? And then people, again, were kind of asking us, like, what do you use to run your courses? What do you use to do this? And so we were like, okay, there's definitely a product here. And let's actually put all of our efforts behind it and actually make it a real business.
Awesome. Like, and that's like the whole like customer management thing, all of that stuff. I like to learn that, because no one, like, I haven't seen anywhere that like they teach you that. Like, I haven't found that anywhere except for online courses, but like learning through experience and doing all of the things wrong. That's how I learned. Same thing with my web design, is I made the most horrible HTML only websites in known to man, and like literally, you know, copied and pasted the same thing. But that's like really impressive. Like, you also have that, the code portion of it. How much of that, like, degree, because like that's not necessarily focused on PHP or WordPress, how much of that helps you in your business as it is now?
That's a great question. I think that I kind of say, so my husband studied math and business, and I studied software engineering, and then I run the business and he does most of the coding. So that's kind of how we think about our degrees, as we're both the wrong degrees. But for the most part, I do think it was useful, because at least I can understand, you know, like how involved certain things are to develop. And I can talk, you know, with our developers. We have more developers on the team now. And we've also been hiring from our university paid co-ops and interns. So, you know, I know what to look for when I'm doing technical interviews and things like that. So I think that's been very helpful. I don't do coding as much like myself these days. I still build WordPress stuff all the time, but not so much, you know, under the hood stuff. And then my husband really doesn't do a whole lot with like the business management or marketing side of things. So yeah, we kind of traded.
I find it interesting that the number of women we speak to whose plugin or whatever their business that they created became to be because there was a problem and there wasn't a solution. And so they had to create it.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we built our pop-up plugin, Pop-up Ally, because I wanted to help my clients and they wanted to have a pop-up like I had, but mine was all custom coded with like, you know, specific HTML and CSS. And I was like, oh, they're not gonna be able to like ramp up and make it beautiful right away. So let's just do it like a drag and drop. And then they can just do that. So that really sold well, because all of our, you know, design customers were like, I want to just be able to update my pop-up and just make it look good. And then for Access Ally, that was really just like our like pulling our hair out moments where we're like, okay, like we can't keep doing this and our host is going to kick us off or something soon. So we need to do something about this problem. And yeah. And then from there, it's really evolved obviously a whole lot. And we've added like millions and millions of lines of code to it. But most of the features and ideas that we have for it came from our customers. So once we had customers, we really focused on what they wanted to accomplish. And I think that's made a big difference too with the direction that the plugin has gone.
That's amazing. And your story is a lot like Stephanie Wells with Formidable Forms, where she had this need for a client. There wasn't something there. So she built the plugin and then ended up also hiring her husband to be her assistant. And we've heard that story a lot, where these women come up with these successful business solutions or plugin solutions and end up having to hire their husband to be their assistant. And it's a fabulous journey. Tell us a little bit more about what Access Ally does and how it compares to other like LMS or membership related plugins.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way we think about everything in Access Ally is as an offering. So a lot of times, you know, you're buying an LMS and you think, I'm going to create courses, or you buy your membership plugin because you're going to have a recurring membership. So Access Ally, everything is doable within Access Ally. It's just how you want to deliver it. So you could do courses, you could do memberships, you can do communities, you could do ebooks, you could do free challenges, or, you know, really however you want to think about it, it's pretty much possible in Access Ally. And we found that the benefit of doing it that way is that there's a lot of cross-selling and cross-marketing opportunities. So if somebody who buys your course or even downloads like a free thing, they can have log into your membership site and see what else is available that's paid as an upgrade, whether it's continuity or just like a one-click upsell. So we found that to be really powerful for people. And in terms of how it compares with other things on the market, you know, we try to think about it as like kind of an all-in-one. So that helps a lot. And then I think also from there, we have a lot of functionality that integrates with email marketing platforms. So if somebody, you know, opts into your email platform, you can generate their login for them and send them a link to, you know, go and download something for example. Or also we have a lot of cool things where, you know, if somebody completes a quiz or completes a course, you can unlock a bonus, send them an email from your email platform. And there's a lot of cool integrations that we can have with that. So a lot of that came from kind of what we were doing and also what our customers were doing. But yeah, like it has a lot of the LMS functionality you would want, like quizzing and points and gamification, certificates that you can get at the end, and all that kind of stuff. And I will say one thing that we do have that's a feature that's a little bit different is our sort of umbrella accounts functionality. So that's where you can sell or license multiple seats in a course or a recurring membership. So you could say, okay, I have this training and multiple companies are going to buy it and they're going to import their members or their team members, and then they can track the progress of their members and they can do all the admin. So you can sell kind of one group license, for example, or you can sell per seat. There's different ways to kind of handle that as well. And so that kind of helps people to scale a little bit without having to do individual sales as much.
What are most of your like clients? Are they like focused on courses or are they businesses? Like, have you found a niche or industry that tends to use this?
Yeah, so we've found that most people who tend to love XSLI tend to be coaches. So they could be, you know, coaching one-on-one right now, and then they want to add courses, or they have a book and they want to turn their book into a recurring program or a membership or a community where people can come in and connect with other people just like them. And we do have people who are, you know, dog trainers, photographers, like they kind of teach what they know. And so, yeah, they're trying to kind of scale outside of the one-to-one and into one-to-many a lot of times.
And do you have a lot of like developers that use it for with clients, or is it primarily, do you think, keep the business owner that is going doing it by themselves?
Yeah, so it's definitely like an 80-20. So I would say that we have people who come in and, you know, love it, build it themselves, figure it out. But a good chunk of people do tend to hire. And we had a certification program for a while, which we kind of sunsetted just because it was like a lot of management for keeping people up to date on things. But yeah, we're always looking for developers and people who are looking for solutions for their clients, and we like to support them. So we have, you know, demo or discovery calls, and we kind of just do this training to help people who are curious about it, you know, if it would work for their clients or client projects. And I would say that a good chunk of people who come to us come from developer recommendations, you know, developers who've tried other things and they're like, you know, I think for what you're actually trying to do, XSLI might be good. And it just kind of depends on like their goals, because I don't think it is the platform for everybody in all cases. I think it really does depend on what you're trying to build.
Well, I love it, since I'm deep into the LMS space with helping clients with their online courses. And with, for example, LearnDash has Uncanny Owl, which is a third-party tool to do that groups management feature you were talking about, where you could license out the groups and you have to integrate with WooCommerce. It works pretty well. There are a couple little funky things about it. But I was talking to Lifter LMS at WordCamp US, and they're really working on having some group functionality like that. They're not there yet. And so to hear that that is really such a huge feature of yours and really is part of your product, rather than like with LearnDash, foisting that off on a third party where you don't have that kind of, not to say you don't have accountability, but in a way there's not an accountability to LearnDash to make sure that that works properly. So you're having to rely on the solo, you know, whatever team, you know, small team to make sure that that plugin works. And that group functionality, I think, is so key to the LMS space. And that's awesome that you intuited that right away and built that into your software.
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, when people are trying to decide, I think that we kind of try to show different options. So like there's what I call like the duct tape solutions, where, you know, yes, you will need like five different plugins to work together, or maybe there's, you know, Zapier in the middle, or who knows, right? Like there's a bunch of things that you're kind of trying to make work together, and that can work. But it's also, it might be cheaper. That's, you know, XSLI is not priced on the lower end. But at the same time, things could fall apart, or, you know, one of the things might break, or a new update might need to be required for it to keep working. So it could be a little bit tricky for people. And then you have kind of the hosted, you know, like Jobby, Teachable, Thinkific, you know, these tend to be a little bit easier for people to get started. But then a lot of times people feel stuck, right? Like you can't add more functionality. You can't add another plugin, or you can't tweak the design or the thing that you want it to do. So I feel like XSLI is in the middle. You know, we are kind of one solution that does a whole lot and that, you know, hopefully will do what you want it to do. But at the same time, you're not stuck. And then you're also not like relying on a bunch of different pieces. So that's how like we like to talk about it. And I know that, you know, some people might prefer doing them, the other options too.
As someone that is currently trying to get out of the weeds of all of the plugins, because exactly that, like one thing updated and then that was incompatible with this thing and that, and it is a headache for sure. So like, and I have always, you know, I've been thinking, because especially I've been teaching online and there's not good tools that again integrate that learning, teaching, groups, and that functionality, as well as email, like being able to, you know, keep people up to date, be able to upsell, all of those things. There's not a lot, it is a lot of taping things together. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, really cool to hear in this space. Any fun or like teasers or things that you can get us about like what roadmap kind of things are going to come in the future?
Yes. Okay. So we're coming out with a new tier called Community. And so we kind of have already been working on it and have some of our customers have upgraded to it already. So we're basically, you know, doing groups and more of that like threaded conversation that you can have around a topic and part of a course or part of a membership. So you can really design like how you want it to work. So right now we're sort of like beta working on it with our existing customers, getting their feedback and improving it. So in the fall is when we plan to actually release like the full version where everyone can purchase it on the website. And then the other thing that we're working on is what we're calling our no CRM version. So in the past, you had to use one of the email marketing platforms to use Access Ally because we had our, you know, tags and custom fields and all of that was stored in the email marketing platform. So like ConvertKit, ActiveCampaign, Keep, Entreport, Drip, all of those were the ones that were integrated with. And we realized like people may not want to use those specific platforms. So we could keep integrating with more and more platforms, but then all of the platforms don't always have the functionality we need. So for example, MailChimp is a super popular one, but it didn't have tags for the longest time. And so we were like, oh, you know, people really want it. So we're just going to do all of that functionality directly in Access Ally. So you can have tags and custom fields and all of that stored in WordPress. And so now you won't depend on the CRM, but you can still integrate with it. So that's coming soon too.
Wow, that's so much. When you first were like transitioning into, I am, you know, doing this for my clients too, I'm going to sell this for other people to use with their clients. What was like the biggest hurdle that you had to go, you know, figure out and find a solution for?
I think the biggest hurdle was really figuring out the how to sell software versus how to sell like services or, you know, consulting or, you know, courses, which is essentially what I was doing before. And I think a lot of times, you know, people are like, okay, yes, like I'm really excited. I'm going to try it. And there's a lot that goes into adoption of software. And I think that you know, learning about that was a little bit of a struggle because we were like, of course, you know, they like it. They saw the page, they saw the video or whatever it is that kind of got them interested. And then they buy and then they try it and they're like, oh, it's not what I thought. Or, you know, I'm missing this thing or whatnot. So just kind of getting over some of that so that we can communicate it better before they purchase. So a couple of things we've done to help with that. So we do have discovery calls so people can jump on a call with someone from our team and then we'll walk them through and make sure it's a good fit for them. And people tell us all the time, like, no companies do this. Like, I can't get on the phone with a company and ask if this is going to work for me. So I think that has helped with some of those issues. And sometimes we will tell people like, hey, based on what you said, like you might really be well served by this other option here. And we try to keep on, you know, top of what's available. So that's one thing we did to overcome some of that. And then also, yeah, just like doing as much for our knowledge base so that people can kind of read about how things work before they purchase. You know, I think people do look at that before they buy sometimes. Just so they know, like, it's not just, I think sometimes we see marketing for tools and it's like a checklist of like what it all does. But then when you like try it, you're like, oh, that's not exactly what was on the, like, it's not quite one-to-one of a matching of what the checklist said. So just being more clear in how we can communicate like what that actually means. Because I think a lot of times people are really optimistic. And I think, you know, being realistic is really important to when you're marketing software.
How did you... I've seen people struggle if they don't have a free version on the WordPress.org repo. And so how did you get the word out about your plugin, your amazing all-in-one? Just, you know, that's a hurdle.
It is, yes. So I think luckily we kind of had our community already, which was, you know, female entrepreneurs. They kind of just, you know, were around me from my online courses and all the stuff I had done. So I had an email list already. So that kind of helped. And then we just kind of focused on working with developers who would recommend us, and that helped a lot. We also did some co-marketing with the CRM companies that we were integrating with. So, you know, those companies either, you know, accepted a guest post from us, maybe we did a webinar together. So we kind of marketed directly to those people because we knew, you know, they had to have one of these systems to use us. So like it made sense for them to be potential customers of ours. And then, yeah, just like SEO, you know, having blog posts that show up when people are searching. We do have a lot of comparison posts where people might be looking at two different options. And we did our research, hopefully enough to give them information to make the best decision for them. But yeah, it's like sort of a, we've tried all kinds of things. Like we've done Facebook ads, we've done Google ads, we've done LinkedIn ads. But I think really what it comes down to is, you know, focusing on the product that, or like the problem you can solve for people, and then making sure that they can find you. Like we do a lot of YouTube videos. We do like, we're kind of all over the place, but you know, hopefully they find us when they're searching for something that they're looking for.
I just, every time you talk, I have so many more questions. Sorry. And I bounce around all over the place, but you made a comment about having a network of female entrepreneurs from your courses. And so I wonder, do you notice a certain demographic that tends to use your product more than others?
Yes. So I would say we were probably like 90% women customers for like many, many years. And then I don't know exactly what changed, but we, you know, our website was completely pink at first too. So I think that might've been part of the issue, but not issue, but you know, part of the branding behind it. So I do feel like over time, you know, more people found out about it and it was sort of outside of our network and that the word kind of spread a little bit. So I think that helped kind of even things out. But I would say it's probably still 60 to 70% women at this point. We do have more male customers as well, but, and sometimes they're, you know, husband and wife teams and stuff. So it's hard to say like, you know, which of the two we should count. But yeah, I think that the initial, you know, community aspect helped a lot. And then, you know, sometimes I do think about it because I haven't been super duper active in the WordPress community. So people are like, oh, like I've never heard of Access, or like, I've seen the website, but I didn't really like associate you with WordPress very much. And people do sometimes also come to our website and get confused that it is a WordPress plugin. And so, yeah, because they're comparing us to, you know, Teachable or Thinkific, and then they're like, oh, wait, no, this is on WordPress. Okay. Okay. So yeah, I think it's like a lot of it has come from that initial group of people, but then we're trying to also branch out a little bit.
It's interesting. You mentioned the WordPress community. There was someone who sent out a tweet, a guy, a dude who was like, you know, what WordPress plugins or companies are out there that are like kind of, you know, run by women, you know? And he listed like three. And that's like, that's all that could come to mind for him. And there are, he didn't have Formidable on there. He didn't have Stratic. He didn't have any of these really big companies that were founded and run by women, web dev studios, any of those. And so people were just kind of, not really trolling, but kind of trolling, you know, just flooding his comments with all these women. But a lot of them were smaller agencies and stuff. And that's fine too. But there were some, you know, agencies that have 10 employees. And to me, that's pretty substantial. And here you are, a multi-million dollar plugin that probably no one would know was founded by a woman. So in terms of the WordPress space, do you have any plans to kind of get yourself more known in that way, like maybe to do some talks about your journey? I think it would be fabulous.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list. Like, I feel like the last few years have been rough with like kids at home more and just not having the, you know, the extra time or extra bandwidth to be out there a bit more. But yeah, I was the opening keynote speaker at WordCamp Atlanta in like 20, 2015, I think. So it's been a while since I've been like back on stage and doing a lot of things, but yeah, it's definitely on my list to do. And I think, you know, doing more podcasts and more things like that too would be really helpful. And I think part of it was because I was so focused on running the business and just like growing it and all of that, that I just didn't even like lift my eyes up to see like what's happening in WordPress, even though WordPress, you know, powers our business and is such an important part of what we do. So I think this is now my time to kind of dive more into the WordPress community and kind of give back.
Do you have more employees now? Or just you two again?
You literally took the question out of my mouth, Tracy.
See, we've been doing this too long. Yeah, we started to share a brain.
I love it. Yes. So we're a team of 8 full-time employees. And right now we have 3 paid interns at the moment too. And we kind of rotate interns every 4 months. So we're always like mentoring new people. And we've had one person graduate and join full-time who was an intern with us too. So that's kind of our goal, is to like, you know, get to know people and, you know, train them up. And if they like it, then hopefully they'll join us full-time when they graduate. So yeah.
And is your team remote or do you have an office?
Yes, we're all remote, all over the US and Canada right now.
Nice.
You know what? I'm tuning into this "what else would you like us to know" piece of our question. And now I just want to come visit you in Canada to see your small permaculture farm in which you have sheep, chickens, ducks, and geese. And I have chickens, but I'm not on a permaculture farm. I am in a city and I'm an urban chicken farmer. I guess I have 5 chickens, which is all, but it's fabulous. So tell us about your farm.
Yeah. So yeah, about 2 years ago, we moved here and, you know, we had always kind of loved gardening and planting trees and that side of things. And where we were living before, like, you know, we were in a certain area where they didn't let us have chickens, they didn't let us have any animals. So we were like, okay, if we wanted to do this, you know, let's actually go all the way and actually get a farm. So we moved to this farm, which was actually a horse property. And so there's still horses here, but they're kind of, you know, they're renting the barn and they're like, you know, tenants. So we can enjoy the horses, but we don't have to muck them out every morning, which is really nice. And yeah, so we have chickens, ducks, and sheep, and they're actually milking sheep. So we milk them during the spring and summer. And so, yeah, we're really enjoying that part of things. And I think that kind of balances out all of our tech time because we're always like on the computer. So it's nice to like get outside a little bit, you know. Yes, we do. We have someone who calls us, you know, software nerds who shovel sheep turds. And I do feel like that's pretty accurate because we are, you know, like mucking out the sheep sometimes. But yeah, we do a lot of, you know, the permaculture. We planted a lot of trees since we've moved here. And yeah, just learning a lot about that too.
And the most important question, do you make feta cheese out of your sheep milk?
Oh, I haven't yet. We've made mozzarella plenty of times, but feta is not quite yet, but next year for sure.
Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing about the feta cheese experience. And that might be goat milk.
Feta can be sheep, but feta mozzarella, sheep mozzarella. Yeah. Feta, lots of good stuff milk. You can do sheep. Mm-hmm. And what else? You could also make, with some of the hard cheeses with the sheep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we made like a cheddar and we aged it and we tried it and it was so sharp that we were like, oh, okay, maybe we didn't do it right. So I don't know if it's just like how long we waited or not. But anyways, this is like, we have books, we have YouTube videos. We're like learning very actively on that side of things because it's kind of trial and error still. But yeah, mozzarella came out great. So I'm very happy.
My fiance loves the extra sharp cheddar. So if you ever have something, it's like, oh, it's too sharp, just send it all. We'll take care of it for you.
I'll ask for your address. Yes.
I just love Natalie. It was so great when you were saying, you know, I haven't spoken since 2015 and there's, you know, pandemic, we have kids at home and we have this whole company that we run. And oh, by the way, we have a farm. And I was just like, yeah, you're just a little busy, but that work-life balance thing, having that excuse to get out away from the desk, get out there, be with the chickens and the sheep and ducks and geese. I mean, just sounds wonderful. And in terms of, you know, we always like to ask women, as, you know, you're a woman entrepreneur, and what kind of support, mentorship, or encouragement have you got in being that person?
That's a great question. I feel like I've been really lucky with different mentors throughout my life. So I had a martial arts teacher way, way back when I was like 11 again. And, you know, I did martial arts for a really long time. And I feel like just having like a strong role model like that was really helpful. And even though it didn't necessarily, you know, impact the way that I thought about business, I think that that was really helpful. Just having someone who believes in you, I think, is really powerful. And, you know, beyond that, yes, I've had great mentors in business and, you know, coaches. I've hired coaches to help me think through things and make decisions. Sometimes, you know, they would like just listen to me and be like, I think you already know what you need to do. You just need to do it. And so that's always helpful to just have that reflection and just be like, yes, okay, I just need to trust myself a little bit more and, you know, go with what my gut is telling me. So that's been really helpful. And then I think now that we have more of a team, you know, it's nice to be able to bounce ideas off of them and make sure that the whole team is kind of on board with ideas and things. And sometimes I do get, you know, a little bit too idea focused and the team kind of balances me out a little bit, especially my husband, who's a little bit more stable and I'm more of the entrepreneurial like idea person. So that's also kind of a nice thing to have as well.
So that actually leads into what my question is. So now, especially for those of us, because you mentioned a little bit about this, it's much different running a product than it is with a service. So what kind of tips, because you've obviously been successful at this. So like, what kind of tips can you give from transitioning into that successfully?
Yeah, so I will say you need money and a runway, because product does not happen overnight. So I had this plan that we would get to like, you know, thousands of customers in year one, right? And that totally did not happen. And so we see all this like hockey stick growth, right? And I think that's not super realistic, especially if you don't have a big audience or if you don't have the ideal people following you. If you're doing freelance, you tend not to have like a huge email list or a huge customer base that you could just turn into customers, unless you're going super high ticket with your product, which is also totally legit. And I would consider if I were doing things, you know, differently, I might start high price and kind of do semi-custom and then kind of slowly make it available to more people. But yeah, I think that's really important, is thinking about the size of your audience and kind of how you're going to market your product, because it doesn't just, you know, putting up a product page does not automatically get you sales. And I think that's kind of a misconception. And I will say also, for our first plugin, we did put a free version in the WordPress directory. And we had, I think it was like 15,000 downloads for that. So, but part of that was because we had our email list already. So, and it was free. So everyone on our email list like, oh, sure, I'll go download a free version. Why not? And then from there, that converted into sales of our pro version. So depending on what kind of product you're creating, that could definitely be a good strategy. I'm not sure, because that was, again, 2013, 2014. So I'm not sure if things have changed since then. But those are a couple of avenues I would pursue. But I would say give yourself like more than a year to, you know, have money coming in, maybe from other services or whatnot.
That makes a lot of sense, for sure.
To, you know, fully depend on the product.
I actually am wondering, when you moved to your farm, did you have any issues with internet access? Is it a more rural location? Because I know a lot of people that struggle, at least, you know, in the US, with being able to do online remote work when their internet is so terrible.
That's such a great question. So our top of our list was it had to have good internet. Otherwise, we were not going to choose this location. So we're in a really interesting neighborhood where it's essentially residential across the street, but then on our street, it's farms. So it's a very weird setup. I'm not sure how it kind of happened. Like, probably the zoning changed over time. And so we actually have fiber, which is amazing. So, you know, that was like, we looked at a property like across kind of like the highway to a different location. And yeah, they didn't have good internet. And I was like, nope, like, sorry, that's an automatic, not going to happen. So yeah, we kind of had like a spreadsheet of what we were looking for. And that was at the top for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's funny, because every time I think about like, well, if I'm looking at houses or even Airbnbs, I look at like, what is the reviews on the internet speeds? How many outlets are there? Is it going to support all of my computers? Because we just want to see, just want to make sure. It's interesting. We have more things to think about. I love it.
So I have a question. I want to kind of go back a little bit to when, before you developed your plugin and you were coaching or you were teaching classes, what were you teaching people?
Yeah, so I was teaching, some of them were WordPress things. So I had a course called Websites Made Easy. And that came out of working with clients where I was like, you know, I can't take on all the clients and I would like to help people make their own websites. And that was kind of one of my most popular courses. I also had Simple SEO, which was another course. And then I had, I think it was called Expand Your Reach, which was more about like marketing and getting more people on your email list. What I realized quickly from doing online courses that were teaching people tech things is that tech things change all the time. So my courses were out of date within like a week or two. So it was really rough to kind of keep maintaining them and updating them. So I did for the most part in the beginning, but then I kind of realized like, okay, there needs to be a different model or a different way of doing things. And that's part of why I was kind of moving more towards the plugin way, because if I, you know, just kind of had to stay on top of things, that's all I would do is just update my courses instead of marketing or, you know, helping people answer questions and things like that.
And that's what's held me back from ever making a course, is because everything changes so rapidly. Even, you know, I go back and look at a blog post that I wrote, you know, a tutorial blog post I wrote 6 months ago. And it's like, oh, well, that's not useful anymore.
Same. I have a 6-week theme customization course, and I would teach it a couple times a year to 10 or 12 people. I was teaching in person, but all of the lessons were online because I'd want them to go through step by step, and they would recreate a website, and I would be teaching them. The CSS stuff would stay the same. The PHP, some of the PHP stuff would stay the same, but everything was changing so often. Every time I had to go teach the course, I'd have to spend like hours updating things and then redesigning everything, because if we're going to build a website together, you want them to have a sample website that they're building that looks modern. And when things started to change and I picked up another page builder, I was like, and a lot of people were making videos for that. It's like, do I really want to compete on that level and spend all my time making tutorial videos that are going to be out of date, because it takes forever to make those? And that's definitely held me back quite a bit. But I really want to help people, but I just, wow, it's been super challenging. To the only course that doesn't change a whole lot is just the SEO. That's stayed pretty much the same, but it's also much shorter course. And, you know, luckily there's a tweak here and there, but surprisingly, as much as we talk about SEO's changing so much, it's like, yeah, not really.
The basics stay the same.
Yeah, you totally.
Know, write good content, have a good site.
The technical stuff's pretty much the same. Yep. But good for you for making that transition. Were there any particular technical challenges, like coding wise, like learning, like you talked about the business evolution and having to get your brain around some of that and the marketing and all of that. But did you face anything where you had to level up your technical chops, or did you just hire it out at that point?
Yeah, I would say, so my husband kind of figured most things out, but I think one thing we did, which I'm not sure if I regret, but it was kind of an interesting decision looking back, is that we built our own license manager. So a lot of people, when they sell plugins, they use, what's it called? EDD?
Freemius.
Yes, yep, exactly. Yep. Easy Digital Downloads. Like, I feel like there's a couple of different options that are kind of the standard for selling your plugins. And so we built our own, which sometimes means like we have to stop working on our public facing plugin to then update our, you know, plugin server or like our, you know, like license manager and all of that. So we kind of take our focus off of, you know, customers to like make sure that things keep working on the back end. So yeah, that's sort of a challenge. I think sometimes it's good because, you know, we know exactly how it works. Like, we're not going to get hacked, or, you know, like there's some benefits to that. But I think part of that was because we were in our own little bubble so much, we didn't even look and consider like, oh, there's something that already does that. Let's just use that. So I think that's sort of a challenge on the tech side for sure.
Well, it's been wonderful having you on the show today and learning all about your WordPress plugin. Before we go, can you tell everyone where they can find you online?
Yeah, of course. So accessally.com, that's the plugin website. Popupally.com is our other plugin, which is for, you know, pop-ups and list building. And then also natalielucier.com if you want to check out my more kind of like farm updates or more personal side of things. I do talk about the business a bit there too, but a little bit less Access Ally specific focused.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.